from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, in today for Michael Krasny. This hour, homosexuality and sports. May is turning out to be a very gay month in pro sports. This week, a top executive with the Phoenix Suns basketball team revealed he's gay. That's a first. The San Francisco Giants announced that the team would produce a video aimed at supporting gay and lesbian teenagers as part of the national It Gets Better project. And a pro hockey player with the New York Rangers recorded a television commercial in support of same-sex marriage. Pro sports is considered a last bastion of homophobia, but is that changing? We'll get started with Forum right after this. Good morning and welcome to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, in this week for Michael Krasny. Well, professional sports is often thought of as one of the last bastions of homophobia. There are a few openly gay and lesbian athletes, like tennis player Martina Navratilova and former Olympic diver Greg Louganis, but no pro athlete from a team sport has ever come out before they retired. But in recent weeks, there have been some cracks in the wall. Rick Welts, president of the Phoenix Sun basketball team, came out this week, and the San Francisco Giants announced Monday that they'd create a team video for the national It Gets Better project, which encourages gay and lesbian teenagers to hang in there against bullying. And there are other developments as well. Sean Avery, a straight pro hockey player with the New York Rangers, recorded a video in support of same-sex marriage recently. Other heterosexual athletes are stepping forward, too. And so this hour, we're taking a look at all these developments. Joining me here in the studio, Joan Ryan, who is a media consultant to the San Francisco Giants. Many of you, of course, remember her from her many years as a sports columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle and the Examiner. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Scott.
And also joining us by phone is Sid Ziegler. He's co-founder of Outsports.com, which is an online informative and entertainment gay sports community website. Good to have you here as well.
Oh, good morning.
Let me begin with you, Joan Ryan. What do you make of all these different things that I mentioned there at the top? Is it kind of a coincidence, or does it indicate something bigger is going on?
I wish I could say that it indicates something bigger is going on. I was looking back when I was writing sports, which has been a while, and I actually have a file that's titled Gay Athletes because I was going to do a big project on this. And I looked back on my material in preparation for coming on here. And boy, it's the same topic again and again and again. And we really haven't moved the needle at all.
Really?
In male team sports. There's probably 4,000 athletes, Major League Baseball, NFL, NHL, and the NBA. Still, not a single current player has ever come out as gay. And we know there has to be some. And I think, you know, as I'm sure we're going to explore this hour, so many reasons why nothing has happened.
So you actually brought your gay athletes folder in with you. It's kind of dog-eared there.
It is.
You've written some things about it in the past, 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're saying that the issues that you explored way back then when you were with the Daily Papers
mm-hmm.
are still the same today.
They are, because the dynamic of male team sports is so entrenched. It's so important in male team sports and in any sports, but with women, it's a whole different dynamic, you know, as we can talk about. But in male team sports, you can never be on the outside looking in. You can't be on a fringe. You cannot ever, ever do anything that is going to risk being ostracized in team sports. Even if a guy goes on the disabled list, he's still a part of the team, but he's not playing. He's not contributing. He feels like he is not a part of the team. And it's palpable in the clubhouse or in a locker room when somebody is on the disabled list. You don't want to do anything that's going to bring attention to you in a negative way and then spread through the team so the team looks at you like, what are you doing bringing this kind of negative attention to us and putting into question all of our masculinity, our strength, our power, all the things that we stand for as male athletes.
How different is it in women's sports?
Well, what's interesting is that in male sports, male team sports, every man is assumed not to be gay. And in women's sports, it's every female is assumed. It's not so bad anymore, but it was. You know, every woman is assumed to be gay, and you prove otherwise, you know, which is why you see way more now, you know, women basketball players, you know, with their makeup, you know, their hair looking really, really femme. And, you know, which is fine. Everybody should be who they are.
Right.
But it's sort of the polar opposites in the genders.
And so does that same dynamic exist, though, in women's sports, say in the WBA?
No, because there isn't really a lot of blowback if a woman, although what's really interesting is there, I mean, I haven't kept up with the WNBA, but I don't know how many female basketball players are out.
So it still could be an issue.
It is still an issue, but it's nowhere near the issue as it is in male team sports.
Sid Ziegler, you and your partner have been writing, your business partner have been writing about the world of gay sports. What do you make of the things that have been happening in the last 6 weeks or so? Everything from Kobe Bryant calling a referee a faggot, getting fined $100,000 by the NBA for that, the Atlanta Braves pitching coach getting into an altercation with some anti-gay slurs before a Giants game. What do you make of all these things?
Having covered this issue for every day for the last 12 years, it would be impossible for me to disagree more with just about everything Joan just said.
All right, nothing wrong with that.
Right. So the transformation that has happened in sports, it's one thing that she said was kind of right, that it hasn't changed a lot. Because we've been saying for years now that gay people can be in sports, completely accepted and embraced in sports. And we're seeing that now. Will Sheridan, who is the former Villanova basketball player, came out on his team in Division I college. They were a top 10 team 5 years ago and was fully embraced by his team. And we see now athlete after athlete coming out and saying it's okay to be gay. A majority of players in every sport 5 years ago in a Sports Illustrated poll said they would be okay with having a gay teammate.
So why hasn't it happened?
Not only okay with it, they would embrace it.
So why hasn't it happened?
Because of the fear of the unknown, because people like Joan come on here and go in the media and say how horrible and impossible it would be. The media continues to reinforce this backward notion that it's impossible to come out in sports. On ESPN just the other day, they had a couple of gay athletes come on, so they were totally embraced by their team. They had guys like Herm Edwards and Barry Melrose say how far sports have come, but then when the question comes, can an athlete come out on a team? Absolutely. Oh, no, it's too hard. It's too much. Everybody's okay with it, and everybody else thinks that the person next to them isn't, but that person is. So it's the fear of the unknown and this constant reinforcement by people who get on radio shows and write about it in newspapers that you can't do it.
Well, I feel
is ready, but you can't do it.
I feel a need to defend Joan, but I'm sure you can defend yourself. But I mean, you're not saying that it's right or wrong. You're just reporting on it what you see. And I realize you disagree. Sid disagrees with you, but
yes, yeah, Sid, I there's nothing more I would want than for you to be right.
I'm not saying that you want to be right. I'm simply saying that, for example, Scott Fujita has been very openly, he's a Cleveland Browns linebacker. He has said in the media over and over again, he thinks gays should be able to marry. He would totally support a gay teammate. But when you ask him, do you think somebody could come out in your locker room? He says no.
Yeah,
and he wants a gay teammate, but he says it can't happen.
Yeah,
and this is all we keep hearing. In 10 years of running out sports, I have not heard a single negative coming out story in high school, college, or pro sports of an active or retired player in 10 years.
Yeah,
who is the active player in pro sports in the major team sports who has come out and been embraced?
But that has not happened.
Right.
Not publicly. Except when you talk to Division One. Like, I know a Division One football player in the South who is at the top of his game and has a legitimate shot at the NFL. His entire team knows, and they don't care.
Yeah. Well, again, that's college, right?
Oh no, that would
it's
be great.
It's the same guy who's going on to the pros.
And what's keeping him from coming out publicly?
The fear of the unknown. Because people keeps hearing from the media that teams might not draft him.
Yeah. Well, there is that concern about how a coach would react, what it would be like for marketing of the team, contracts for endorsements. If you're a big name, a marquee athlete, Joan Ryan, there are a lot of unknowns. I mean, no one has really tested that barrier.
Right. And if you do spend time in locker rooms and clubhouses, which I imagine you must, Sid, in doing your job, that there is a culture there that we would like it to be different, but it is right now what it is. And there is so much pressure on elite athletes. There are so many things going on for them. Their careers can be really short. There is such a razor thin line of making it and not making it that few are going to add one more pressure, one more reason for some general manager who is not as enlightened as we would all like them to be, who says, you know what, I'm just not taking that on. It's just not worth it to me. There's another second baseman who has, you know, similar numbers. We'll go with that guy.
Sid, what you mentioned some of the college athletes who have come out, and it remains to be seen whether they'll go on to the pros, but so many younger people today are just out from the time they're in high school. It seems to me that would be the natural progression in the future for pro athletes, people who are just out from the time they're teenagers. Does that make sense to you?
Well, we have an example. You know, Andrew Goldstein, about 3 or 4 years ago, he was a college lacrosse goalie, and he was openly gay at Dartmouth, and Major League Lacrosse drafted him. And he was openly gay. And of course, Major League Lacrosse certainly doesn't have the profile that the NFL or NBA has, but it has the same macho feel, the locker room feels the same way. And he was he was not only drafted by the team as an openly gay athlete, but he was embraced by his teammates. And I asked the coaches, the front office executives, a teammate after teammate, and all I heard was, yeah, that's Goldie. We don't care.
Yeah. Joan Ryan, I wonder if you think that some sports would be more amenable to having, and I'm talking pro sports now, team sports, would be more amenable to having an athlete, a team member come out. I mean, for example, is football a little tougher than, say, baseball? Because it's a contact sport and things could happen. And, you know, I always heard the story if a quarterback came out, the line wouldn't defend him or, they might allow a cheap hit or something like that. I mean, that is less likely to happen in a sport like baseball, I guess.
Right.
But, is there anything to that?
It's so hard to know. I think it's going to be about the individual athlete. I mean, it's going to have to be the Jackie Robinson who comes out and is just willing to put up with all the crap that Jackie Robinson had to put up with in order to be break the color barrier. So you are going to have a star. You're going to have somebody that is above all of the criticism, who is so beloved and respected by his teammates that they do protect him. He's going to have to deal with all the fans, all the rest of it. I think that, you know, the needle has moved in. What Sid says is that at least now there is the talk of, yes, we would accept a gay athlete. That hadn't happened before. And you have teams like the San Francisco Giants who are absolutely out there saying, you know, what can we do to help create a climate publicly to accept and encourage diversity in every way there is.
Do the Giants, do you think, Joan Ryan, and again, you do some work for them, do they feel both sort of an obligation being in sort of a gay-friendly city like San Francisco and the Bay Area, but also a concern about a backlash at the same time, not wanting to get too far out in front on this issue?
I don't think they ever think about that. I really don't, because there has never been a backlash. When they were the first team to have an AIDS Awareness Day, and many teams now have followed that, and that was way before any major league sports team of any kind even thought about that. Being in San Francisco, does that help? Absolutely, that helps.
It's smart marketing in a way.
It's smart marketing, but it's also the right thing to do. And, you know, one of the things I really admire about the Giants organization is that they do think about that, that it's just the right thing to do. And they do have faith, and you know, Sid is right here. They do have faith that if they lead, the public will follow.
Yeah. What about the 49ers?
49ers I don't know as much about. And I think the NFL is a very different
culture. Kettle.
Yeah, it's a different culture. You know, baseball is 162 games. Football, 16, or I guess we're going to go to 18 games, but 16 games. There's not as – you can't have the impact you can have that you do in baseball, because there's so many games. There's so many opportunities to interact with the public and to you know, to persuade people in a certain way that football really doesn't have.
We're talking about gays in sports this hour on Forum. Our guests are Joan Ryan, a former columnist with the San Francisco Chronicle and the Examiner. She now works as a media consultant to the San Francisco Giants. Also with us, Sid Ziegler, co-founder of Outsports.com. And if you want to join our conversation, give us a call, 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. You can also email your comments, forum@kqed.org, or go to the Facebook page as well on for Forum. Joining us now also David Kopay, who is a former San Francisco 49er running back who came out, was the first NFL player to come out in 1975. David Kopay, welcome.
Good morning.
Tell me, you came out, I think, a few years after you retired, is that correct?
Yes, about 4 or 5 years after I retired.
Yeah, and what prompted you to do that? Way back then, that was early.
Well, it was, and it was a whole different time. I saw an article in the paper in the morning. I was back in Washington, D.C., and trying to sell an idea that I had for the National Football League, the pub mirrors on... pub mirrors with NFL logos and stuff. And I saw the article, and then I became infuriated and really disappointed and angry with my friend Jerry Smith, who was the All-Pro tight end with the Redskins, and someone who I had a relationship with, who actually precipitated me coming out.
He was gay.
Yes. He was, and everybody knew it. There was, you know, it wasn't like people didn't know it. I was married also, I went on to get married. I wasn't married when I joined the Redskins. So it was like, and I was real close to Jerry, so people couldn't quite understand. If I was gay also, but they certainly suspected.
And you say everybody knew that Jerry was gay, but...
He was their guy, though. He was Mr. Touchdown. He was Mr. Clutch. He was Sonny's main receiver in the tight situations. You know, he had Bobby Mitchell and... they had Charlie Taylor on the wideouts. I mean, they were really great, great players. So was Jerry a great player. He was all pro for a number of years. He played 14 years in the league.
So when you say
I wasn't that kind of player, but I certainly had spent, I spent 9 years in the league before I was like forced to retire, but I don't know if that really had anything to do with my sexuality. I sometimes wonder about that.
What makes you think that?
Well, I'm really not sure. Maybe rumors. Maybe the insecurities of Dan Devine, who was probably the worst coach I ever played for, and who I, you know, I was a little bit more outspoken than I guess most guys on the team at that time when we won the conference championship in '72.
What do you make of all these things we've been talking about this hour? The things that with Rick Welts.
Well, I agree. I agree with both guests, Sid and Joan. And yet, I really think that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, I thought certainly when I spoke out in 1975, I didn't think it would take all these years. I thought for sure by now someone would be out and things would change. But they haven't. But you know, nowadays, at least even back then, we saw that we had to fight back to get some progress made, and it was, you know, we saw what was going on with the civil rights struggle, and certainly Jerry and I noticed, and we talked about Martin Luther King all the time, and so when I saw the article in the paper, I was just so furious with him that he really kind of betrayed what we talked about in terms of it's time to fight back, you know, but yet again, I knew that he really couldn't because he at that stage especially it would have been unheard of. And of course, after I spoke out, it was pretty a pretty terrible atmosphere.
Yeah, and David, I don't know if you're still in touch with you know, the league at all, but do you hear from players, current or retired, who?
No, I'm not in touch with the league per se. I have a good friend who played with the 49ers, is a great All-Pro, and Howard Mudd, who invited me back to 2 years ago when the Colts were in the run for the playoffs, and I went to the Super Bowl. In fact, I was welcomed out on the field before the game by Jim Irsay and Bill Polian of the Indianapolis Colts. Certainly, that town is not what you call a liberal town.
Yeah.
But certainly, their attitude is caught up to where it should be in the world today. And I think that I think the National Football League is trying. So
yeah, Joan Ryan, let me ask you a question. You wrote about a trainer for the San Francisco 49ers many years ago who retired, and you interviewed him, and he was gay, and I guess the team knew about it. Tell us a little bit about him and what his experience was.
Yeah, everybody knew he was gay. It was, you know, an open secret, and he had a partner.
And what era are we talking about here?
He was there for 25 years during all their great runs, you know, the 70s, 80s, and into the 90s, early 90s. And he was harassed. There was one incident he told me about where he's a kind of a small guy, and a very large player threw him against a training table and simulated a sex act on him. And the other players just watched. Nobody said a word. Nobody came to his defense, even though he was well-liked and all the rest of it. It was okay to do that to him.
Or at least people were afraid to say it wasn't.
Exactly. They weren't going to stand up and defend him in that way. To the 49ers' credit, when the NFL, I think it was the whole NFL, came out as with domestic partners, insurance and all of that, he came forward and signed up his partner, and the 49ers embraced him as part of the 49er family without anybody ever saying anything.
Joan Ryan, former San Francisco Examiner and Chronicle columnist. We're talking this hour about gays and sports. Join us if you'd like, 866-733-6786, or email us forum@kqed.org. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Michael Krasny. Stay with us. And welcome back to Forum. Scott Schaefer here this morning for Michael Krasny. This hour we're talking about homosexuality in sports and some of the recent developments with the San Francisco Giants and a team president of the Phoenix Suns coming out. We're joined by Joan Ryan, who is a media consultant to the San Francisco Giants, a former sports columnist for 13 years with the San Francisco Chronicle and the Examiner. Also, Sid Ziegler, co-founder of Outsports.com. David Kopay, the former San Francisco 49er running back, is also with us. And joining us right now, Will Sheridan, who was a Villanova basketball star, came out on ESPN. Will Sheridan, good to have you with us.
Thank you. Good to be here. Good to be here. Good to be on, I should say.
Tell us a little bit about your career at Villanova and what prompted you to come out. And were you sort of known as being gay among your teammates before you officially came out on ESPN?
Okay, so I attended Villanova 2003-2007, where my first year we went to NIT, second year Sweet 16, third year Elite 8, and I had a good time. I mean, we really, really, really bonded as a team, built our basketball program, I think, to what it is now. We really did a great job with Jay Wright. I had some great guards with me. I built a relationship with my teammates that is unbreakable, and yes, they did know before Monday, as did my family and a lot of my close friends and people I love and know, and people I work with. I mean, just I wasn't personally coming out on Monday. I was just making it more visible so other people can live through my experience.
And what prompted you to do that?
Well, I've been talking to Dana O'Neill, who's a close friend of mine,
for
a while now, and about doing this story. But I wanted my family to be comfortable and be ready for, you know, any, you know, feedback, positive or negative, that was going to come about it, because I am from Delaware, and it's pretty small. Everybody kind of knows everybody. And, you know, I was at a point where I was fine. I'm ready for it. My family's ready for it. And so I just felt like, you know, why not?
Yeah, and when you were out, were you on the team, was it just no big deal? I mean, you were just out in every aspect of your life, or
I wasn't necessarily. It was like an unspoken truth. Like, everyone knew I went out in Philly. I enjoyed, you know, the scene. I went out. I was dating someone. We were just like homeboys, you know, regular guys.
But did anybody you were dating ever join the team when they went out after a game? I mean, or was it more unspoken, unseen?
Yeah. I mean, towards my senior year, I was just at a different level of, you know, I was very comfortable with who I was at that point. And, you know, at that point, by senior year, we were all just going out. I mean, I was doing what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, yes, yeah, you know, my friends hung out, my teammates hung out, so it was good.
Yeah. You know, when you boil it all down, and I think this is somewhat true also with gays in the military, it seems to come down to the showers or the locker room. I mean, was that something that you had to kind of negotiate in some way or another at Villanova?
No. First of all, I think that's an issue with straight men. Projecting that onto gay men, that they're going to be looking at them. To be honest with you, I never discussed it with any of my teammates. I just made it, I maybe subtly made it very aware that I was not looking at them and was not aware, you know, not interested. But no, I don't think that was never an issue for me. No one came forward and said it was an issue, so I'm just assuming it wasn't for mm-hmm. 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, you did not go on to the NBA, right?
No, I didn't play in the NBA, no.
Did you think about it? I mean, I don't know. Were you
that an option for you? Yeah, I tried out for a few NBA teams. I went overseas for a season and played and competed. But basketball, you know, for me was a way to get from where I was to where I wanted to be. I really found passion in the team and winning and standing for something bigger than myself. I'm really, if you know anything about me, I'm really passionate about writing, which has transcended into my music now. So, and my music has the same message in it as well, about being who you are and, you know, enjoying life.
Yeah.
Living and being free.
And since you came out on ESPN Monday, have you heard from either any of your former teammates or other people, say, you know, professional athletes who you may have known or may not have known?
Pardon me, can you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Yes, after you came out on ESPN on Monday night, did you hear from any of your former teammates or perhaps from other people, say, in the NBA or other pro teams or leagues?
Right.
You know?
Well, I talked to Nardi on a regular basis. He just got back from Italy. And I talked to a lot of my teammates on Twitter. You know, Randy Foy hit me up and was like, congratulations, like something we all knew. Now the world can kind of, you know, get into it. Mikey Claxton, who is Speedy Claxton's little brother, is in full support of me. But all my teammates, you know, we just have regular conversations. I mean, for us, it's old news.
Yeah.
Again, this is my experience and my coming out, quote unquote, is for other people to live through, you know, straight and gay, to heal and learn and, you know, gain knowledge from this experience so we cannot move in ignorance anymore.
And what about what Joan Ryan was saying earlier, that, you know, that an athlete who was, say, eligible for the draft or was going to have a pro career might be reluctant to come out because of concerns about coaches or future teammates or endorsements, that kind of thing. Is that a legitimate concern, do you think, or is it something
that's a legitimate concern? I think in 2011, there are enough endorsement deals for a gay athlete to be successful if he's good enough or she's good enough. You know, it might not be a Nike or a Reebok or Adidas or something like that, and maybe something else. There's tons and loads of endorsement deals out there. I mean, I've been approached by people already to be spokespeople, be a spokesperson, but, you know, that type of thing is something that comes along with having a strong foundation, knowing who you are, and being articulate and being able to speak for a group of people.
All right. Will Sheridan, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, take care. All right, let's go to the phones now. We've got a lot of folks who want to join us. Let's start off with Jim in San Francisco. Welcome.
Hey, how are you doing this morning?
Good, thanks. What's up?
Hey, two quick comments on the Giants organization. First, about their decision to do an It Gets Better video against bullying. I wanted to give credit to the Giants organization for being open to grassroots support for that. A member of the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, Sean Chapin, started a petition on change.org for the Giants to do this, and it got over 6,000 responses, and I think the Giants organization was responsive to hearing that message come from its fan base. And also, the Giants organization needs to be credited for allowing the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus to be the first sports organization to allow a gay group to sing the national anthem at one of its games.
Joan Ryan, again, you said this is not something that's out of character for the Giants, but it is a first.
It is. It is. And I'm really proud to be associated with them. And I do think that sports has such a huge impact on a community, you know, beyond just entertainment. And the Giants organization, and they're not alone in this, but I think they do it better than most, they understand the platform they have and the power that they do have to start shifting people's perceptions about sports and about men and about masculinity.
David Copay, do you agree with what Joan Ryan said earlier, that that the culture in the NFL is just really different from, say, the professional baseball league, and that it would be tougher for a football team?
Well, I think in a way she's definitely right, that guys are always talking about their conquest in the locker room, and it seems like even if they're married, which is, I don't know if they're still doing that, the married guys, but that seemed like such a hypocritical and double standard to me. It really used to irk the hell out of both Jerry and myself. But of course, we had to put up with it.
Yeah.
But yes, I do agree.
All right, let's go back to the phones now, and Justin is on the line in Palo Alto. Welcome.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Listen, I think what's going on today in sports is what's going on today in the military. It's two very blue-collar institutions who are very resistant to change, and you don't have a culture that influences tolerance, and you don't have a lot of educated guys either. I mean, Scott Fujita, Sid's example, is a Berkeley grad. I actually went to school with him. He's a very educated, very intelligent guy. He's kind of the outlier to modern football players. I think the best thing to happen for this to change would be for a superstar athlete like Kobe Bryant to come out, you know, a household name, to say, look, I'm gay, and, you know, nothing's going to change. He's still going to be a world-class athlete, and people would then, I think, start to embrace it.
Joan Ryan, you remember when Magic Johnson announced that he was HIV positive? Gosh, that was a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
But he was still in the NBA, and there were some legitimate concerns, I think, about the spread of the virus, if there was an injury, that kind of thing. But there were also rumors about Magic Johnson and how did he get it and was he gay and all that stuff. He is the kind of person who could come out and make a difference. I'm not saying he's gay at all, but it seems like some athletes have sort of come, if not come out, they do support issues. I mentioned Sean Avery with the New York Rangers,
mm-hmm.
who's straight, making a video for same-sex marriage. So it does seem that, you know, the people are different athletes who do have stature are beginning to, you know, I don't know if take some risks is the right
mm-hmm.
phrase, but to try to make a difference.
Right, and be publicly supportive. And maybe that is the shift that we need to see, and that's the first wave of a change and creating a climate in which it would be safe. But I think back on, you know, when I'm writing about some of these things and calling some of the athletes that I knew very well who were educated, who were, you know, sort of the smarter, more worldly guys that I had come in contact with, and asking them what would happen if a teammate came out. And two guys, I was shocked, just said, oh, I don't even want to talk about it. I'm just so uncomfortable with this questioning. I just don't even want to be a part of this story in any way, shape, or form. They didn't even want to talk about it, much less really entertain the idea of it actually happening.
Yeah. What's at the heart of that?
Oh, gosh. You know what? Dave Copay probably is a better person to ask about that. Dave, what do you think?
Well, I think maybe they have some fears about themselves. Everybody, I think, kind of does or wonders about, well, gee, could I possibly be bisexual? Sometimes I might have a thought or two of some kind of sexual proclivity with another man. I'm not exactly sure of that. I think, you know, maybe because... you know, I think we're all sexual beings before we're labeled straight, gay, bi, or whatever. And I think being that makes them uncomfortable to accept that maybe the female side of themselves, if that was the case. I don't know if I'm quite making any sense.
Sid Ziegler, what would you add to that?
You know, it's the fear of the unknown. Even the gay athletes are afraid of what, you know, hasn't come before them, and the straight athletes are afraid of what they don't know or understand. Some of them don't have a gay friend. They don't know that they're not going to get raped in the shower by a gay man if he comes out of the closet. They're not going to get stared at and made feel uncomfortable. They're afraid of the unknown at the end of the day.
Yeah. I want to play a clip from ESPN. Danny Bringer, our engineer, tracked this down. It's Barry Melrose, who is a hockey analyst for ESPN. He's a former coach for the LA Kings and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Let's hear what he had to say about this.
I think that the hockey players aren't comfortable talking about it. They don't want to even think that it's there. I know being in a sports dressing room myself, you just don't think that any of your teammates are gay. As a coach, you don't think that any of your players are gay, and you don't even want to think that they're gay. I think it's a problem that coaches don't want to handle. I think it's something that you do as a coach. You try and solve all the problems, and if there was an openly gay player in your dressing room, all of a sudden you have to handle that. You have to handle with the press. You have to handle with the other players. It's just a problem that you would hope doesn't happen. I think that's the way most coaches are hoping their dressing rooms are, that it doesn't happen in my dressing room, so I don't have to handle it. But I think Herm hit it in the head. It's just something I don't feel comfortable talking about and probably not dealing with either.
Joan Ryan, there you have it, huh? In a nutshell, it's just sort of they see it as a headache.
They do. An upset
that they'd rather just not deal with.
And it'd be interesting to how widespread that is, and I'd be interested to hear what Sid has to say about that. How do you overcome that, Sid?
Well, I just listen. There are a couple things. First of all, Barry Melrose is considered a clown. He is not considered a real thinker in sports, and that's why he's on ESPN. The second thing is that 5 years ago, Sports Illustrated did a poll of players, hundreds of players in each of the four sports. 5 years ago, 80% of the NHL players who they polled said they would be okay with a gay teammate. And people I talked to, Patrick Burke, who's a scout for the Philadelphia Flyers, whose brother was gay and died last year, his father is the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs, they say it wouldn't be a big issue in their locker rooms. So I think Barry Melrose is just, you know, he's a sensationalist and he's a clown, and I think he's wrong.
All right. Kathy in San Jose, welcome to Forum.
Hi, this is Kathy, and I've got an observation here. I'm not a big sports fan, but I am a longtime observer of gay politics and, you know, gay rights. And I've got a couple of teens myself. And, you know, one thing that I keep hearing in both Sid and Joan is something that I think may explain the discrepancy there. Sid's talking mostly about information from the players. Joan's talking mostly about the reaction of the managers, the owners, the fans. And I think when you look at the demographics of those two groups, you're going to see a huge age split, a huge culture split between the, you know, the players, who are mostly young guys in their 20s, early 30s, and the managers, coaches, owners, a lot of the fans who are from an older generation. And this matches with what I see in my kids and their friends. There's a huge split in acceptance and perception, especially in California, but I think this goes nationwide, among how people who are, say, under 25, under 30, view the whole issue of gays in society as basically, okay, so get over it.
Yeah, and that actually, the polling shows, Sid Ziegler, that cuts across political ideology. Even younger Republicans or even, you know, people who are somewhat religious-oriented also are much more supportive of gay rights than similar people who are older. So there is a generational divide, isn't there?
Well, certainly. no question across the culture. But, you know, I mean, So anybody comes out, all it takes is one person to make that person's life, you know, not miserable, but upsetting. So, you know, Joan talking to individuals who don't want to talk about this or are not okay with it, people are certainly out there, and they're in the locker rooms, and they're of every age. So those people certainly are out there. I just don't think they're in the majority, and I just don't think they're going to dominate an athlete's coming out process.
All right. Thanks for the call, Kathy. Let's read some email here. JD writes, so we do have examples of out male players in pro team sports. Australian rugby player Ian Roberts came out during his career in the 90s. Gareth Thomas, a Welsh rugby player, just came out last year. And Sid Ziegler, speaking of rugby, is it Ben Cohen who plays rugby in England, is also on a campaign to sort of promote gay rights. He's also straight.
Yeah, Ben Cohen, he's created a foundation. He just retired from rugby this month, and he created a foundation to fight homophobia in sports, as well as Hudson Taylor, who's a former collegiate wrestling champion. He's created an organization, and he's straight, called Athlete Ally, based in New York, where he's going across colleges and high schools, getting teams and athletes to sign a pledge that they will help fight homophobia in sports. So what we're really seeing this year is the emergence of straight allies. Sean Avery, Charles Barkley saying just this past weekend that, you know, he'd rather play with a gay guy who can shoot than a straight guy who can't.
Reminiscent of what Barry Goldwater said about shooting straight in the military. Let's go back to the phones. Dennis from Palo Alto, welcome. Good morning.
Hello, thank you very much. I'd like to disagree and argue for pushing the needle in the other direction. That is, sexuality is really a private matter. And if we, for example, were to discuss Joan's sexuality and say, okay, Joan, what kind of birth control do you use and what positions do you prefer? And what about your partners? I think most people would probably say, hey, you know what? All of that is a private matter. And it really ought to stay a private matter. And how would it be if Kobe Bryant or Albert Pujols were to say, you know what? My sexuality and my arousal and how I express it, these are really private matters. And why don't we just keep them as private matters?
Sid Ziegler, what do you think about that?
I mean, if kids were killing themselves because they're taking birth control, then I'd say that might be a good argument. Kids are killing themselves because they're gay, and this issue isn't just about what you do, it's who you are. So I think that equating being gay and taking birth control, I just think it's a false argument.
I think the point you're making, and Dennis, I'll say this to you as well, is that that there is a price that athletes pay for being in the closet or feeling they can't come out because they're, you know, constantly having to pretend they're someone they're not, and that's not the case with the other examples that you cited.
Yeah, exactly, and the fact of the matter is, sexuality is part of being a celebrity. We talk about who's sleeping with who, and I mean, you look at Charlie Sheen, look at Kobe Bryant, his sexual past. We do talk about straight people's sex life.
Well, and it's also that, you know, we see wives and they're part of a team when there's parties, when there's celebrations. And so, you know, every member of that team ought to have their loved ones be a part of all of those team gatherings.
What we're talking about is a level playing field. It ought to be the same for everybody. And when there's people are in the closet and feel they can't, then that is not the case. Dennis, any quick comment from you before we let you go?
Well, just I think there's a pervasive assumption in what we're saying that we'd all be better off if everybody came out and revealed at least the level of their gay or straight sexuality. And I'm not sure that that's correct. I don't think we'd all be better off if everybody were free to come out.
All right, Dennis, thanks so much for the call. Well, we have a lot more to talk about this hour on Forum. We're talking about gays in pro sports. Our guest, Joan Ryan, who is a former sports columnist with the San Francisco Chronicle and the Examiner. She also has a book coming out. We're going to talk to you about this in a bit, Joan, regarding Tim Lincecum and the San Francisco Giants. Mm-hmm. We can talk more about that. He's an interesting guy. Also with us, Sid Ziegler, co-founder of Outsports.com, and David Coppe, the former San Francisco 49er running back and one of the first or the first NFL player to come out. He did that back in 1975. The number to call if you want to join us on Forum, 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. And this is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Scott Schaefer. Let's go back to the phones now, and Buck is on the line. Buck, welcome. Teresa, sorry, in Mountain View. Good morning.
Oh, hi, this is Teresa. I've never gone by the name of Buck. oh, this is a wonderful program, and I thank you for having it. I think there are a few gaps, and I'd like to fill in a little bit with what I know and what I believe.
Please.
Joan, thank you for coming on. If you just have one folder about gays in professional sports, boy, you're missing a couple of filing cabinets because there has there's been a lot going on. Second, I'd like to say that it's time to celebrate the gay and lesbian leaders in the sports world, from 7-year-olds to fifth graders to professional athletes in the male and female sports world. They're out there. Their teammates are absolutely ready. Some of them aren't. Some of them are idiots, but most teammates, I think, are quite ready to be shown how to show respect. Think about Phil Jackson and how he takes his team from acting like hooligans to really playing professionally with respect for one another and the diversity that each person and player brings to the sport. You think about, I know a lot of gay people. I'm gay myself, and I have not been in professional athletics, but a long time ago came up to Olympic tryouts for a rowing crew, and I've known really stupid people, very really hard-working athletes in their 20s, who, when they have an intelligent coach and an intelligent management, say, look, this is not going to go over. You have to grow up and learn to respect other people. They can do it. They can do it in the course of a week or 2 weeks or one season, and the whole team plays much better.
Let me bring Joan Ryan into that, because there's an analogy to what Teresa is saying with the military, you know, where mm-hmm. they're now implementing, they're eliminating Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and it's coming from the top down. To what extent do you think these kinds of things can change if we have enlightened management?
Oh, I think that if you have enlightened management, things can change. I think part of it, too, is that I'm just sort of thinking out loud here, that when you get to be an elite athlete, And Teresa, you know, it sounds like you've gone, you know, almost to that point, that in team sports anyway, you're basically, that is your life from when you're a small child, especially now. You're not exposed to a diversity of people. You're not in student government generally. You're not in all these other things where we get exposed to different people and our stereotypes are broken. I think in athletics, because especially male athletics is what we're talking about, you know, it can be such a closed world that a lot of these guys come up and they're not as expansive, you know, intellectually and socially as your average person who's coming up, you know, through high school and college. So there's almost like this weird self-selection that goes on.
Yeah. Teresa, thanks very much for the call. Got about a few minutes left. And Joan, I do want to ask you quickly, I mentioned the book that you're working on about San Francisco Giants pitcher Tim Lincecum. He is someone who sort of is outside the box. I mean, he's known as the freak.
Right.
He has chosen as one of his causes HIV AIDS. What do you make of him as someone, you know, in this world and with the issue around the issues that we're talking about?
Well, you know, again, I think that, you know, to what Sid was saying and you brought up is the age. He's, you know, grew up in Seattle, very open-minded. I think that, you know, almost to a man in that Giants clubhouse anyway, you probably wouldn't have a problem. I mean, I don't think you would. I think if somebody came out in that clubhouse, and a part of it is enlightened management, you know, going to Teresa's point. So you do have to have the right climate and the right situation, and it could happen. The book that you're referring to is a photo book that Pulitzer Prize winning photographer Deanne Fitzmaurice followed him through the season last year. Who would have known they would were going to win the World Series? And I wrote the text to it, and it's called Freak Season.
Yeah. Dave Copay, we've been talking about this. You've been living this for the last 35 years or so. What would you hope to see in the next few years? I know you said when you came out way back then, you thought for sure things would have changed much sooner. But what do you hope for, given what's happening in the last few months, for the next few years?
I would like to see just an even, you know, equal playing field for everybody, you know, to be embraced, to be welcomed, to be able to celebrate who you are and be who you are and have the chance to live a free and happy life, you know, to have, be able to marry, to be able to be in the military. I was in the military and I was in I got married, but that was definitely a big mistake under terrible professional supervision by a stupid psychiatrist that really had his head where it didn't belong, I guess.
Well, and as Joan Ryan said, we can all hope for more enlightened leadership, not just in the military, but in sports as well. Thanks, David Copay, for joining us this hour. Thanks also to Joan Ryan, Sid Ziegler from Outsports.com, and to Will Sheridan earlier in the hour from Villanova. Forum is produced by Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell, with help this week from Tina Lauerberg and Christina Russo. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our engineer today is Danny Bringer, and our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Scott Schaefer, here this week for Michael Krasny. Thanks for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.